Welcome to the Hockey Writers Podcast, where your favorite THW contributors discuss the hottest topics around the NHL and hockey world every weekday, Monday through Friday. Listen daily on iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to check out our other great content at thehockeywriters.com. I'm your host, Matthew Zator, and I'm joined in by my usual Friday panelist, Matt Grizzell. Matt, how's it going on this Friday morning? It's just the two of us today, missing Haynes and anyone else. So it's just the two of us talking here on Friday.
I'm doing good, Matthew. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's almost the weekend. Playoffs are almost the Stanley Cup final. So lots of fun stuff. The draft is less than a month away now, too. And free agency, all that fun stuff to write about is just around the corner. So yeah, having a good time. And well, let's get right into it here with the playoffs. I mean, we know the Western Conference Final, that's done. Edmonton Oilers are gone. Colorado Avalanche are in the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time since 2001. And the Lightning look like they're on the cusp of doing it again. I mean, they were down 2-0 to the Rangers. Didn't look particularly good in those first two games, but now have won three straight. Now on one more win away from another Stanley Cup Final appearance. And I mean, my gosh, this team. You cover the Rangers. What are they like? They looked so good. I mean, they looked so good in the first two games. What have the Lightning done differently to kind of change that narrative? And now that they're in control of the series now?
Well, I think it's a lot of it has to do with their playoff experience, especially given that the Rangers lacked that over the last several years, and they have a relatively young team. Tampa knows what it takes to win. They've been here over the past several years, and they're just built for these kinds of situations. They got down 1-0 last night in a game that looked like it could be just, only have one goal in it. It was very low scoring, very tight, but they bear down. They got contributions. Goal contributions from not from one of their top guys, and Vasilevsky made the difference in a high pressure situation. Given that they lose this game, they're going to be going down 3-2, and even though they would still be going back to their home ice, you don't want to be down 3-2 in a series where, a team can, get that deciding game, and especially when you don't know what's going to happen. The playoff hockey is very unpredictable, even though teams with home ice have done better than teams on the road. But yeah, I would just chalk it up to more experience overall, and just they're built for this time of year, and they have that clear advantage over the Rangers.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, like you said, the experience is massive. They know what it takes. They've been down most of the time in their series in the past, and they're never really in control of things. I think they've lost game one in like almost every one of their series going up to the Stanley Cup. And they know they get down, they know they can come back. And, guys like Palat have really stepped up in the last few games. I think he has two or three goals in the last few. Guys like Stamkos and Kucherov, they've scored. And, it's the big guys coming to play, and that's what it is. And like Vasilevsky's been really good. Shesterkin's been really good too. I mean, it's not like he's all of a sudden become a bad goaltender. Like you said, low scoring. So, I mean, it's going to be another battle of the goaltenders, and that's what we thought this series was going to be. I mean, and that's what it's turned out to be. So going into game six, do you think the Rangers will come out with it, or do you see the Lightning kind of just finishing it up and going to the Stanley Cup final again?
I could easily see this going seven, just because the Rangers have done well in their previous series where their back's against the wall. They adopted the model no quit in New York. But you look at, maybe if you don't look at the stats in terms of how many points he has in the 18 playoff games where they played, but players like Artemi Panarin and Chris Kreider, they've gone through their stretches where they just haven't been dominant, especially Panarin. He's kind of been very inconsistent throughout the whole playoffs, really.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's being paid, you know, to not do that. And there's just a lot of questioning as far as, you know, why hasn't he stepped up? And well, I imagine that the teams defensively have done their best taking him out of the game. And, but yeah, they just haven't had their usual consistent core guys stepping up. I mean, even their secondary guys, Andrew Kopp, he's really been hit or miss ever since the Carolina series. The only player, I mean, you could argue, I would say the only two players that have been consistent here and there over the past several playoffs, even, you know, I would say Mika Zibanejad, and especially more Adam Fox, more so than Zibanejad, but, you know, Adam Fox is a defenseman. So, I mean, besides Sturkin, if the Rangers were to go on a, if they were to advance to the Cup final and beat Colorado, I would say the Conn Smythe would go to Sturkin most likely, but the only other person I would say would be in consideration would be Adam Fox, because, you know, it's been very hit or miss with these forwards who throughout the postseason, it's a Zibanejad, Chris Kreider, and Artemi Panarin. So, yeah, that's kind of, if they lose this series, that's one thing that's going to be brought to light is their inconsistency at their top forward position. So I would say, given the role that the Lightning have been on and their experience, I would and we're inching close to Andre Vasilevsky, his dominance in closeout games, I would give the edge to the Lightning to win game six.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, Panarin and them, they're experienced guys. I mean, these guys are the ones that have to step up. And when you got the Lightning's, those bad experiences coming through, they got to match it. And like you said, Kreider's been, you know, he was good in the last series. He had some, started kind of coming out of his shell and maybe starting to score a bit more, but now the last few games he hasn't. And then you got Panarin, hasn't been really good all throughout the playoffs, like you said, and like hit or miss. So, I mean, I don't know. And the thing is, their kid line has been the one that kind of carried them in the first two games.
Yeah.
And Hedl, I believe, is still hurt, right?
He played last night.
But, he played last night. Okay.
He may not be 100% healthy yet.
Right. Probably yeah. Not. So he's dealing with an injury. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are dealing with.
Yeah. Injuries, I mean, I don't think anybody's 100% healthy at this point.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be tough, I think, for the Rangers to win this series now. But, you know, the Lightning, they just know what it takes. And that just seems like that they just be able to turn the tide when needed. And, they've done that. So we'll see what happens and if there's going to be a game seven or we're going to end this in six and we're going to see the Lightning in the finals again, which or the final again, and maybe another Stanley Cup for that team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Colorado, I mean, they're going to have a lot of time off between now and then, but they are tough. Just looking back at their win loss record in the playoffs, you know, they're one team that can win on the road consistently. So, I mean, I would think at some point Tampa Bay would start to gradually regress just because all the hockey they played in several years eventually catches up with you. And they're gradually continuing to lose guys on their roster unless they can find a way to, you know, they lost Blake Coleman this year or last year, and they may lose Andre Palat, or that's not how you pronounce his name, but a Palat. It wouldn't surprise me if they lose him this offseason because, you know, it's another year with these guys getting these expensive contracts. But they've done well with their scouting and drafting has Tampa Bay. So, I mean, you know, but just playing all that hockey, I mean, like I mentioned the Chicago Blackhawks last time, and because they played eventually all that hockey, and eventually it just catches up with you, because you lose guys in free agency, and you don't have as many good selections as you given your where you're drafting, as opposed to where you're building a roster up. You have many high picks, and then you're not getting that when you're a dominant team. So.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, we keep thinking that the Lightning are going to take a step mm-hmm. back, and they don't seem to. So it's kind of an interesting. I mean, there have been times throughout these playoffs that you see kind of fatigue, and I thought the first two games you definitely saw that. But I mean, that could also been because they were off for so long for the rest. So, you know, we'll see how the Avalanche kind of deal with that, because they're going to be off for quite a few days, and. How they're going to look against the Lightning or the Rangers when that gets going. So it's going to be interesting to follow, that's for sure. All right, let's move to another thing that's kind of come out. Well, we saw another coach get fired in Bruce Cassidy in Boston. And we've got quite a few now free agent coaches on the market and a lot of teams looking for head coaches. So, you know, off the top, you know, list here, Golden Knights, Vegas Golden Knights, Dallas Stars, Detroit Red Wings, Winnipeg Jets, Philadelphia Flyers, and now the Boston Bruins. So, and Edmonton doesn't have their, you know, they haven't re-signed Woodcroft, so they could be looking too. So there's quite a few guys. So I ask a question here. Now that there's so many these teams available for head coaches, what is the most appealing? I mean, you got a wide range here. You got the Golden Knights, who are basically a playoff. I mean, they should be a playoff team every year. You got the Boston Bruins, who definitely are a playoff team. The Jets have been knocking on the door there, so they have a good core. And then you got young teams in the Detroit Red Wings, Philadelphia Flyers, which are not really young, but they're more of a, they're going to be rebuilding. And then the Dallas Stars, will obviously are a playoff team as well. So if you could pick one team, like if you were one of these head coaches, who would you want to go for to be a head coach of?
Just if I was in the position of Bruce Cassidy, I would think the teams that are on the cusp of making the playoffs, such as, or that have been in the mix, such the two that jump out are the Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars, because, you know, you don't have this uncertainty that you with those teams as far as. Okay, are these teams rebuilding, or what does the roster look like that you have with, you know, the Red Wings got off to a hot start at the beginning of the season, and they kind of cooled off. And I mean, the Dallas Stars, they do have a good team, and Cassidy spent time in Boston, so you know, he was a few years from nearly winning a Stanley Cup there, so I would think. Given his time that without meeting with the management there, I would suspect a team that can make the playoffs or is on the cusp, such as Vegas and Dallas, would appeal to me more than a team like Philadelphia, where, I mean, I still don't know what's going on with them because, you know, they looked like they were on the cusp of being a playoff team this time a year ago, but, you know, they sustained a good step back, and it's just hard to figure out whether they had the right kind of players, whether they just had too many injuries to the core players, and whether that, you know, plays a role in it, but so we'll see what they do in the off season here. I think they do have to get the coaching job right, and you know, whether they, I mean, right now John Tortorella looks like the guy that they're going to hire. So whether he ends up being the right guy with that situation, because there was, I guess, rumors that, I mean, Ivan Provorov, a key player for them, doesn't respond well to coaches being, or criticism. Well, I just have a hard time seeing how he's going to respond to a coach's philosophy like Tortorella, where he's very honest, he's very critical. And even Bruce Cassidy, I mean, there's talk where he lost the locker room and that was why he was let go. I mean, he's not as harsh as Tortorella. So I just honestly don't see where the direction's going with the Flyers hiring Tortorella with the current guys they have. There's going to have to be guys that either kind of toughen up with Tortorella's, approach, that defensive approach, which I think they do need, or wherever they hire. But to kind of get back to your original question, I would think with Cassidy, a team like Dallas would, or Vegas would intrigue me over the others, just because they were on the bubble. And that's what he used to, is he's used to playing in the, coaching a team into the playoffs. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing, like Cassidy, it was a little bit of a surprise, like, you know, before recording here, you're saying that, you know, the fan base is a little bit angry that him getting fired. And you know what? And after, you know, kind of talk that he had job security, that they weren't going
right. to,
you know, move on. So now all of a sudden he's gone and I don't know. So it is a bit of a tough situation there. So, but yeah, I think he'd probably want to go to a playoff team, a team that's probably going to be making the playoffs or have a chance at that. And I mean, there's also, you know, a lot of these guys, there's also a bit of an appeal to go to a young team, like the Red Wings, like these up and coming with lots of exciting players, right? So I don't know. It also, it'll depend on how long they kind of want to see what the timeline is and what their expectations will be like coming in, you know. Oh no, we want you to win next year, or, you know, we're okay with you losing for another couple seasons if we get, you know, we start seeing some progression with the young guys and stuff. So it'll depend on what type of pressure these guys want to be under, or if they want to win right away. And that's going to depend on all those factors. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with a lot of these teams and where these coaches will go. And or some of these teams may go off the board and choose like AHL guys or from Europe or from college, right? So
yeah,
not even go be these big guys.
I mean, I think that's where Boston's headed. I don't see the benefit of them hiring a guy like Barry Trotz when they just had or John Tortorella when they just had a guy, Bruce Cassidy, who is a similar mindset with their defense and being defense and being very disciplined. I see Boston likely hiring a guy from we'll get into my article a day in a bit, but the prediction from Scott Roach, who covers the Bruins with the Hike Riders, has them hiring Jay Leach or a guy like David Quinn or someone in the minor league system, like where they got Cassidy from. So I just see them I don't see the benefit of them hiring a experienced coach when they had one in Bruce Cassidy. So that wouldn't make sense to me at all.
Yeah. I think they're trying to look for a different direction and not just going for the same type of thing. So it's going to be interesting to follow this whole big coaching carousel that seems to be happening this offseason. Yes. So we'll see where all these guys end up and how they change the teams when they go on to them. So, you know, I thought the Canucks were going to be in that boat here, but now that they've kind of put their stock into Boudreaux for at least this next season, and I'll see how he does, but they could have been in the same trying to look for coaches. So, but
yeah,
thankfully not.
Yeah, I think
go through that again.
Yeah, they just got off to a bad start and things just seemed to come together for them, but they just got off to a bad start that kind of put them in a disadvantage where they had very, very a slim margin for error.
Yeah,
because they were in the playoff bubble for a while, but given some of the guys they had, JT Miller, the year that he had, and I'm not sure what they're going to do with Bruce Bowser, and because he's a restricted free agent, or some of the other guys that were rumored. But yeah, we'll see with them. That's just another team that just can't seem to put it together, like the Flyers in the postseason. So
yeah. Yeah, well, that's going to be the Canucks have a lot more other issues than with the, like you said, Besser and Horvat has to be extended next season. There's a whole bunch of other stuff the Canucks need to deal with, and clearing cap space is another big thing they got to do if they want to re-sign JT Miller, because he's going to be a big contract. So
yeah,
and lots of stuff going on.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our articles of the day, like you alluded to there. So what's your article of the day?
As I kind of alluded to earlier, my article of the day was Five Bruins' 2022 offseason predictions by Scott Roach of the Hockey Writers. He's one of the lead writers that covers the Boston Bruins for the website. And he predicts his five predictions are that involve Jake DeBrusque, his future with Boston, some other transactions such as Nick Foligno's future with Boston, and Mike Riley. Kind of not getting too specific because I kind of want readers to check it out, but it also involves David Pastrnak's future and who they hire as their head coach. So, I mean, a lot's up in the air because there's been a rumor speculation as far as Dave Pastrnak's future with Boston. And, yeah, they just have a lot going on with guys, you know, Patrice Bergeron. Is he going to come back? They have multiple guys who won't be ready in October for the start of the season. And there's just a lot of uncertainty around the organization right now. I mean, one of the main certainties would be Bruce Cassidy, but, you know, he's not there anymore. So the organization is just kind of at a bit of a crossroads, which is where you don't want to be in a passionate sports market such as Boston. I mean, it's very, very much like I'm from the outside Philadelphia area, and those two fan bases, they're very passionate about their sports. So, you know, the uncertainty is not what those type of fan bases want to, you know, be a part of. You know, there you have a mindset of being championship or bust. So, I mean, to get back to the article, it's five Bruins' 2022 offseason predictions by Scott Roach of the Hockey Writers.
Yeah, well, like we mentioned with the coaching, Boston has a lot to figure out, and Bergeron not 100% sure that he's going to return either. So
yeah, I mean, and
that's another big one.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect. I mean, there was rumors that David Krejci might come back, and if I were Boston, I wouldn't be. I guess I wouldn't be depending too much on Bergeron and Krejci. I mean, those guys are just. I mean, even Marchand, you know, those guys are getting up there. Yeah, they were part of, you know, the cup run in a great decade with the Bruins. But you just look at the age, and at some point, those guys just, the organization has to move on, and they have to get better with the young guys. And that's something that if you listen to local sports, like a podcast or sports radio, they haven't done well. Don Sweeney just hasn't done well consistently with drafting guys or making trades. They haven't done what's well for the future of the organization, and it's coming back to haunt them. And given that their top guy in David Pastrnak, you know, he's coming up on he needs a contract extension. He's your best guy with taking, you know, and being his prime and taking the next step with the organization as far as you know, having a bunch of young guys that, you know, to build around. He'd be the top guy to build around. He'd be the next Paris Bergeron, you know, so to speak, of the organization, to kind of build a team around, and they haven't done a good job of that. So that's why they're at a crossroads, I think.
Yeah, it's a good point. And it's that, you know, the Bruins are a bit of a, I don't know. Yeah, they have don't have really any big prospects. Although, I mean, Fabian Lysell is going to be really good. And he's probably their top prospect. And, you know, beyond him, I don't know, there's not much in the organization that's really excited. You should, you know, really excited to see. So this draft is going to be big to draft someone, and that could potentially add to that. So yeah, the Bruins are interesting. They're going to be an interesting team to follow. And that kind of follows in, goes into my article of the day, is another team that's going to be interesting to follow in the offseason is the Edmonton Oilers. And this article is by Rob Couch. He writes for a lot of teams. He's big name on the site. You see his name quite a few times. Writes for the betting side of the website as well. So this article is Oilers for biggest priorities of the 2022 offseason. And these are all big priorities that they're going to have to deal with. Like we talk about coaches and Jay Woodcroft. That's one he thinks that they should re-sign. They need to re-sign him because he did a really good job when he came in with, you know, in the playoffs, getting almost to the Stanley Cup final. You know, and a really great season, really great playoffs. So definitely a guy that needs to come. Another priority is moving salary. And I don't want to give all these away, but salary, free agents, all this stuff that the Oilers have to deal with in the offseason. And goaltending is another big one too. So yeah, the Oilers are another one. They need to figure some stuff out. And it's quite a few big things after such a big run to not take a step back next season, because they don't have a starting goaltender. It's very good. You know, I mean, better than Mike Smith. They need someone better than him. They can't return with him coming back because he wasn't, I mean, he was good at times, up and down type season in the playoffs as well. So it's been an interesting team to follow in the Oilers as the season off season goes on, what they'll look like. I mean, obviously they're going to have McDavid and Draisaitl back. But beyond that, there could be some other changes happening. So we'll see what the Oilers do in the offseason too. All right. Yeah, so there's another episode, a Friday episode of the Hockey Writers podcast. Before we leave, Matt, just give us what you're kind of working on coming up and into the offseason here.
Yes, I'm in the process of finishing up a piece about Bruce Cassidy's fit with the Philadelphia Flyers. I hope it'll, my goal is to finish it today and have it go live either later today or by Saturday. So stay tuned for that. But I definitely think he's a name worth considering. And given his unexpected firing, I definitely think it's going to be a team's game, whatever team hires him as a head coach. I definitely think it's going to be their game, just based on what people in the Boston sports area on talk radio have been saying. It just wasn't a popular move by the Bruins, and to the point of it being a mistake. So I definitely think when that happens, that a team looking for a new direction needs to take advantage of it, especially if it's a big hockey market, such as the Flyers. You know, they're in that Northeast kind of market. Cassidy knows what it's like to manage in a high pressure situation, since it was to Boston or even Detroit. They're an original six franchise like the Bruins. So again, I'm a passionate hockey market with a proud history. They've been trying to get back there for the last several years. So I think either one of those two franchises would definitely benefit from him being as their next head coach.
Yeah, that's Cassidy's going to have a few suitors. I think there's going to be quite a few teams that are going to look at him because, like you said, that experience and the fact that, yeah, he was kind of fired out of the blue. It's, I think it may have thrown a wrench into some teams' plans.
Yeah. And he definitely wants to get to the Cup final. I was reading quotes yesterday from his 45-minute, Zoom session he had with the media. He was very open with them, and he said that his loss in Game 7 of the final still haunts, he still thinks about that, you know, wishes that it would have gone differently. So he definitely says that, yeah, he can be better. And it's something that I kind of agree with, that, you know, we can always be better in our line of work. You know, it's just a fact of, you know, making mistakes and not being perfect, kind of not to go too far into that. But, you know, he's definitely is hungry to get better as a head coach and to get back to leading a team to a Stanley Cup championship.
Yeah, he's been really successful too. Like, the Bruins haven't missed the playoffs very often under his tenure. So, you know, if a team wants to make the playoffs, they'll probably get you there. So it's it's going to be interesting where he ends up. He will end up somewhere, because he's not going to be without a job very, very long. I think it'll probably be signed within the next few weeks. I think.
So, yeah.
We'll see all that all plays out, as I said. So, there's another episode. So thank you for watching thank you for listening. I got to change the script. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hockey Writers Podcast. Listen to new episodes Monday to Friday on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you check out our other great content at hockeywriters.com. For Matthew Zator, Matt, and Matt Grizzell, this has been the Hockey Writers Podcast.